How y'all doing this morning? How's everyone doing this morning? There I am. There I am. Turn your Bibles over to Mark 6, please. You know, before I start my sermon, for those who are visiting, my name is John Becker. This is my beautiful wife here, and my daughter and my son are here. We just moved here about a month ago. And I want to thank the church here for loving us the way you have. I mean, our transition was transition. You know how it is. Moving is never fun. But I really appreciate the way you guys help with meal invitations. Keep them coming. We like culinary encouragement. It's awesome. Bring it. Bring it. I'm not going to give you the best cooks that we've had so far because they were all the best cooks. Thank you for the help with the moving. Brothers and sisters just helping us. But most importantly, thank you for the laughs. Thank you for the fun. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the family. I mean, we've just been here a little over a month, and we feel like it's home. So we thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Before we start, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much, God, for this time. Father, help me to bring your word. Help us to receive your word. Thank you so much just for the life that Jesus lived, a life of intent, a life of action, a life that flat out just convicts us and challenges us to live in a different way. Father, just be with us as we delve into your word and glean so many lessons, God. Thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my sermon this morning is Jesus in Action. Well, I'm sorry, that's the series we've been doing, right? So we're in the book of Mark. We're up to Mark 6, 45 through 56. I'm sorry, I'm still used to getting my suntan while I'm up here. If there's any way to lower that a little bit, that would be awesome. I didn't put my SP 50 on this morning. I didn't want to feel like I'm at the beach. But anyway, Mark 6, 45 through 56. Why don't we read that? You know, I forgot that I didn't put my technology. Isn't it great? Anybody got a joke? Oh, no. Sorry. Y'all are quiet this morning. I'm coming. I yell. So, sound crew, you probably want to put it down a little bit so I get a little loud. I hope that's okay. Amen. Scott said it was cool. So just to let y'all know, I haven't preached in a minute. So I have 5 points for you this morning. I ain't lying. We have 5 points. You're lucky I didn't go to the perfect number 7. I thought about it, but no. I'm going to let you out with 5. But they're going to be quicker points. But we have 5 nonetheless. See, when God gives you a scripture to preach, you just got to preach what the scripture says, right? I'm not going to shortchange y'all because you want lunch. I'm going to give you what God... I'm kidding, sort of. All right. Mark 6, starting in verse 45, says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him into Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the lake. I'm sorry, he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them, saying, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into the villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. Amen? So this is one of those passages that I say, man, it has so much meat on it, it could walk, right? I mean, there's just a lot. Come on, that was funny. That one usually kills, but it's okay. It's early. I got it. So we pick up in verse 45, and textually, chronologically, this is after Jesus had just fed the 5,000. That's pretty incredible, right? It's a miracle, supernatural, amazing. How would you have felt if you were there? If you had ate of the food that Jesus miraculously created? I want you to keep that thought in mind for later. So in verse 45, Jesus immediately sends his disciples ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he himself dispersed the crowd. You know, as I was studying this out, and even as the staff got together, and we were even talking about this verse, it's kind of amazing that he, the one who was their leader, decided to send them away, and he himself dispersed the crowd. My first point is this: Jesus cares. Jesus cares. So Jesus sends the disciples, go ahead to Bethsaida. Why? Here are a few thoughts. He was concerned about the disciples' physical needs. Think about it. They had just finished feeding 5,000. Afterwards, they helped gather up what was left. They were probably tired. Feeding 5,000 people. I mean, sometimes I do cooking, and cooking for four people, I'm tired. Imagine for 5,000. This is what they did. That's a reasonable consideration to me. Another thought is that the people were really there to get a meal. They had heard about his abilities. They got there full. And Jesus said, you know what? I don't want you guys around that. Negative thoughts. So you know what? I'm going to send you ahead. Let me disperse these guys. He was taking care of their needs. Also in John 6:15, we read the same account. But John talks about that the people intended to force Jesus to be their king. They were going to force him to be their king. And he was like, you know what? You guys go ahead. Let me deal with these jokers. I don't want you guys influenced by their wrong thinking. No matter what it was, Jesus was concerned about his disciples' needs. Let me ask you, do you feel that Jesus is concerned with your needs? Oh, I didn't get an amen on that one. I didn't get an amen. I guess you all think everybody here feels Jesus meets all your needs. Teach me afterwards how to do that, because that's not where my head naturally goes. Well, I'm going through physical needs or perceived needs. Sometimes I've literally said, God, where are you in this? We've gone through stuff in life. There's been times where I literally looked up to God and said, where are you at? But, you know, maybe I'm less spiritual than y'all. That's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Do you feel that Jesus is concerned with your well-being during the storms of life? Anybody have any hard financial times ever? Ever? Yeah, don't raise up your hand. You know, every hand could go up. If you were ever a college student, you had hard financial times. Have you ever been flat out betrayed? Even if it was perceived. Because sometimes, you know what? The funny thing about when we're in the situation, sometimes we see stuff that's not there. And sometimes people, nobody could tell you nothing because you know what you know. But you don't know. That's the point. You don't know. You know, during the hard times in life is when we need God the most. Is that your go-to? Or is your best friend your go-to? Is Facebook your go-to? Facebook should get a psychology degree. So many people put their business on Facebook looking to get counsel, and that's not what Facebook's about. I don't know what you use Facebook. I use Facebook to keep up with people to see how they're doing generally. I'm not trying to do a psychosis on them over the internet. It's incredible that sometimes we want to go the avenue of least resistance. A lot of times it's easier to call somebody or Facebook our situation than go to God. When's the last time you said, you know what? I can't talk to you right now. I need to be with my God. You know, there's a time that I just need to be alone with God. And then there's a time where I need my friends. And you know what? The time with my friends needs to come after my time with God, not before. You know, Jesus went to God in prayer. My second point is Jesus prayed. We see in verse 46, that after Jesus dismissed the crowd, he went alone to the mountainside to pray. Why? Why did he have to go pray? Well, here's some reasons why I go pray. To be alone with the Father. Do you like being alone with God? Do you like being alone with God? You know, sometimes with me and my wife, we have a struggle sometimes praying together, more me than her, because I find that time with God very intimate. Well, at least I fight for intimacy with God. So to pray with people, sometimes I'm like, I need to get my mind right with God. But you know what? To watch her pray or listen to her pray helps me with that. To hear her connection, to hear her heart, also brings us closer together. But that's one of the reasons I pray, to be alone with God. Another reason is to gain perspective. Remember, your perspective is right here. If somebody was behind me making all kind of faces, if the tech crew decided to put up a crazy picture, I'm glad Eugene's not here, because he probably would. People do that sometimes. But our perspective is right here. That's all we can see. God sees everything. So why do you need to pray? To gain perspective. To pray for others. What is your prayer list made of? Is it all about you? Again, I'm not accusing anybody. I'm talking about my past sins. God, this is what I'm going through. This is what I need perceived. God, a lot of times, is like, what you think you need is exactly what you don't need. So I'm going to answer your prayer with a no. Do you ever get a no from God? If God didn't give us no, sometimes he wouldn't be a perfect father. Because every time my kids ask me for something, I don't always say yes. And they might look at me like, what's up with that? Because I love you, I'm giving you a no. We always think, we always want that answer, yes. Man, if God said yes all the time, you'd be in a lot of trouble. You'd be in a marriage that you couldn't get out of. Dion laughed about that one. No, I wasn't trying to say nothing, but I'm just saying, it's true. We'd all be in a lot of trouble. If God said yes to everything, we'd be someplace else. God has you exactly where you need to be. Where are you today? You're here. Why? Because God wants you to hear his message. But he doesn't just want you to hear it. He wants you to do something with it. That's what we need to do, something with it. Why else do I pray? To thank God for everything. Are you grateful this morning? Are you grateful even for the storms? See, that's just ludicrous, crazy thinking. Why would I thank God for the drama? Because through drama, God is refining your character. You come tell me that while I'm going through it, I might tell you to go away. Bring me a slice of cake. Give me a hug. I don't want to hear all that right now. But you know what? It doesn't make it less true. When we're going through stuff, it's because God is focused on you and wants to refine your character, to make you more into the image of Jesus. Why do I pray? To ask God for strength for upcoming storms. Look, let me tell you something. I was telling Winston in the back, there's a theme going on in this service, if you noticed, right? Everyone that's come up has talked about storms in their life that have passed. Well, let me let you know, storms are coming. If you're not ready for them, they will knock you flat out down. Some of us will be knocked out by those storms unless we're close to God. See, Jesus had finished putting out a lot of power. Meeting the needs of people takes a lot of power, doesn't it? After you leave on Sunday, you should feel spent. You should enjoy that Sunday nap if God so graciously gives you one. If God gives you one, be like, praise God. But don't go to sleep if you ain't tired. So how do you tired? Be tired in fellowship today. How? By being a person who meets needs. It's easy to come to church and take, because there's a lot of givers in here. Are you a giver or a taker? And you know, sometimes some days I walk in, I'm ready to give. Some days, boy, I need a little bit of something. And that's okay. But what is your mindset when you come to church? When you go to work? When you go to school? Are you a person who gives or a person who takes? You know, if you're alive, you will face storms. It's not if, it's when. Faith is not just getting through the hard times, but it's how you get through the hard times. Faith is about displaying your faith by the way you react during those times. That is challenging. That is flat out challenging. Because I would like to be in a corner pouting during the hard times. Have you ever had a temper tantrum with God? God, why are you doing this? It's not fair. I've given everything for you. And he's like, really? You have. Well, let me change that. No, he's not going to do that. So you can keep on crying and complaining all you want. It's going to allow God to keep you going through until you learn the lesson. I've been a disciple about 23, 24 years. When I first became a disciple, I had different problems than I have now. I was single. That means no beautiful wife and no incredible kids. With a beautiful wife and incredible kids, storms, more storms are allowed to come. Why? Oh, Lord, no, I didn't mean it that way. Y'all trying to get me in trouble. Oh, my gosh. You people, man, trying to get me in trouble. All you have left don't have kids, I guess. Because if you have kids, they bring their share of stuff, right? And if you're a kid, your parents bring a share of stuff. We all got stuff. How do you handle it when you're going through stuff? I'm going to move on to the next point. It's getting a little warm in here. Honey, I love you. Romans 8:28, that is my go-to scripture. That is a scripture, when we moved to Kansas, I bought a Kansas City Royals hat. And I had it embroidered in the back. I like fitteds. If you like snaps, I'm sorry, but I like fitteds. And I had it embroidered. If you don't know what fitteds is, I'll explain it to you after service. But on the back of the hat, I put RMS 828. Why? Because I want to remember all the time that God works for the good through everything for those who love him. So while you're in the storm, your faith must be, God is working through this for my good. You know, I tell this to my kids all the time. When we're doing stuff that they might not necessarily like what we're doing at the moment, I tell them, well, there's two ways you can handle this. You can either have a good attitude as we do it, or you can have a bad attitude as we do it. But guess what? We're still doing it. Well, God feels the same way. You know what? We're going to go through this storm. You're either going to trust me or you're not. It's going to show how you're going to grow. Amen. Verse 47 through 48. You know, I've read these scriptures, these verses many times before. And I always focused on the point that Jesus walked on the water. And obviously, yes, amazing. But that's just the stuff that's obvious. You know, the greatest thing about really being a student of the scriptures is really delving deeper to find the deeper meanings. And, you know, sometimes I remember growing up as a Christian, I would be like, man, you know, I'd read all these commentaries and all this other stuff. And after a while, I said, you know what? I first need to seek God's input. I need to beg God, God, tell me through the Spirit what you want me to learn. And then after I get God's, I look at man's. So I did. I went and I read a commentary by David Roper. He wrote a I took a Bible class in college, and he actually wrote the book for the class. Pretty awesome, a Church of Christ guy. And he talked about, in verse 47, it said, later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. That's Jesus. He saw the disciples straining on the oars because the wind was against them. Okay, not a big deal, right? Jesus saw them. He went out to meet their needs, whatever. Then you study a little deeper and find out that the Sea of Galilee, which what they were on, is actually a lake. And the lake is 8 miles wide and 13 miles long. Wow. And Jesus saw them in the middle of the lake. I thought that was incredible. But that helps me. Do you realize that Jesus sees? That's my next point. Jesus sees. Do you ever feel like Jesus can't see you? Do you ever feel like, man, I'm too far for Jesus to see? Man, if he saw 4 miles, he can see where you're at right now. And not only can he see, but he's willing to act. See, that'd be different if God was a God who had the power, but he didn't have the desire. Have you ever been there? Say, yes, God is an all omniscient, all present, all this issues about God. But is he interested in me? Yes, he's very interested in you. Personally, do you believe that? Jesus sees. You know, I hope that brings you great comfort. Because there's times in our life, especially when we're going through the storms, where we feel like, man, he doesn't see me. Or if he sees me, he doesn't care. We've already established through the scriptures that we've read that he cares. He sends out the disciples to meet the needs. He sees. And then we talk about in verse 48b that he does something about it. Actually, in verse 48b, it says, shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they saw him and were terrified. You know, let's set the scene here. The disciples had been working all the day before that. And before that, they had just come back from preaching for the first time in their lives. Jesus had sent them out two by two to go preach. And he gave them authority not only just to preach, but to heal. So these guys were tired, I can only imagine, right? So they come back, and you got to think about that. These guys are tired. They come out and send the people, let them go get food. Jesus is like, no, you go give them food. So they serve more. Have you ever served so much that you just flat out, I don't want to serve no more. I don't want to do nothing no more. Let me let you know how we get to that place. It's because we go on our own talents and our own strength. There are some talented, strong people in this church. We've only been here a month. We visited twice before that. Singing, incredible. Everything, all, pyrotechnics. It's incredible. Do we have the heart? God is not interested in your talents. He's interested in your heart. And then he'll use the talents you bring to the table to make it happen. See, God is trying to position the Baltimore church to do even more than we've ever dreamed about. As we talking about regionalizing going forward in several months, our hearts need to be, God, use me in whatever way you want me used. Father, this is scary. This is different. I don't know how it's going to work. Don't worry about it. Bring your heart and your skill set, and God is going to do incredible things. Why are we a church? We're a church to save people and to keep the saved saved. See, we need to be concerned for each other, but we can't be so concerned for each other that that's all we do. We need to be about the business. Does that make sense? We need to be about the business. That wasn't in my notes. That was just God. And God is good. Amen? But see, we can be scared. And what did Jesus say? My fourth point is take courage. Take courage. What do you have your courage in? Is it your guns? Do you wear a muscle shirt but ain't got no muscles? You've seen those guys. I could be that guy sometime. I need to get back to the gym. But where do you go? If you try to flex against God, I want to watch that. That would be hilarious. God's like, oh. He would flex his toe and you'd be out of the competition. See, God doesn't just have the power. He has the heart to do it. But he tells us to take courage. You know why we feel fearful a lot of times? It's because we don't allow Jesus into the boats. We see him walking by. It's like, oh, no, Jesus, not over here. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman. You don't know what I was just thinking. Even just now at church, that guy yells a lot. Yeah, I thought that was funny. It's okay. I'm not hurt. Take courage. Do you allow Jesus in the boat? Does Jesus have to ask you to get in the boat, or does he have full permission to come into the boat? I want Jesus to live in my boat. I can't do this on my own. I have never been a 40-some-year-old man married with two teenagers. Never been there before in my life. This is the first time I'm there. I don't know what I'm doing. If you say you know what you've been you know what to do and haven't done it yet, you crazy. Yes, I called you crazy. It's foolishness when we go and don't, Jesus, please, I'm going to dust off the seat. I'm going to put pillows. Would you like some peaches? You can ask God. But, I mean, you can, there's so much stuff. We need to have the heart to let Jesus in the boat. So if you lack courage, it's because Jesus ain't in your boat. Because when you realize you got Jesus with you, you ain't got nothing to be afraid of. What are you afraid of? Regionalization? Afraid of that? Come on now. There's some things to be afraid of. Being tossed to the lions, that's something to be scared about. That hasn't happened in Baltimore and probably never. Somebody saying they don't want to come to church with you? We're afraid of that? We can't be afraid of that. They need to be afraid that they didn't come this morning. They missed this good meal. God is serving up fresh, a fresh meal for us, guys. And we need to have that heart to invite our friends. You know what, guys? And if they didn't come, that's on them. Pray for them. Love them. Don't dismiss them. How long did it take you to come to church? Might have taken you a minute. And if you're here visiting with us, thank you for coming. We're excited that you're here. And we hope that you stay with this crazy bunch. Amen. Verse 51. Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. My last point is this. Are you still completely amazed? I say that again. Are you still completely amazed? Now, this point is for everybody, but honestly, this point is more for those who have been here for a minute. Remember before I asked you, how would you feel if you were there when Jesus took five loaves and two fish? How would you feel? We'd feel amazed, right? Like, whoa, 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 whoa. How about if you saw that twice? How about if you saw that three times? Do the same things that amaze you today, that amaze you when you first became a Christian, do they still amaze you today? When people are baptized and, oh, that's amazing. No, that's expected. People are supposed to be getting baptized. Or we would be just, our wheels would be just turning. We wouldn't do nothing. God's not that like that towards children. The scripture says if you ask him for a fish, he's going to give you a fish, not a snake. So if we're begging God for souls to be saved, it's not to our glory, it's to his. Why would he not bless us? Let me tell you why he doesn't bless us, because we're afraid. He doesn't bless us because we're not ready to accept them and we can't take care of them. It's quiet up in here. Woo, baby. I like that. That means y'all convicted. That's good. I'm convicted too, guys. You know, there's times when we don't see the increase because we might not be ready to take care of baby Christians. But you know what? That hasn't been the case since we've gotten here. That baptistry, this is the first Sunday I haven't seen that baptistry up here. And you know what? Somebody in the campus ministry, ICMC from this ministry is probably going to get baptized. God is working. When's the last time you were in a Bible study? Not your own personal study. I'm talking about helping your friend become a Christian. Now, you can't control whether that happens or not, whether they become a Christian, but you can control what comes out your mouth. And if you're just sitting around talking about the Ravens and the Orioles, there ain't nothing to talk about the Ravens. We haven't even started yet. And one brother was telling me there's really nothing to talk about the Orioles right now either about. So, you know, I'm just saying. I'm not a baseball fan. Don't stone me. Calm down. Calm down. That was a brother that said it. It wasn't me. I'm down to go to a game. I want to go to a game. I don't care how. Well, anyway. People are like, have a seat, bro. Have a seat. You're done. Have a seat. We all need to become completely amazed. Stop being skeptical. Stop being skeptical. If you're visiting, we don't want nothing from you. Well, actually, I take that back. We want to be a friend. We want to be family. We want to show you, we're straight up beggars who found the bread and want to show the world where the bread is. We want to invite you into this relationship with an almighty God who loves us incredibly. And you should have known me before I became a Christian. Woo! It wasn't pretty. But God does amazing things, amen? Yeah. Are you still completely amazed by Jesus? What are some attributes that you can be completely amazed in? God's might, his power, his compassion, his holiness, his faithfulness, his patience. Shouldn't those be the things that we're growing in on a daily basis? And that's why I thank God for a beautiful wife and two incredible kids, because they help me grow in those areas that I lack sorely in. That's why God allows us to have these great relationships. That's why God allows us to be in the ministries that we're in and in the discipling relationships that we're in, so that God can help us to grow in all these areas, because he wants us to be like him. You know, verse 52 explains that the disciples had not understood about the loaves, that their hearts were hardened. Let me ask you a question. Do you understand the loaves? Do you understand the loaves that God has produced in your life? You know, it's incredible. You can see things happening and you're like, wow, look at this. We're so lucky. Mm-mm. You're blessed. There ain't no such thing as luck. Do you understand the loaves? Man, for this, we can't allow that thing to go over our heads. There are things that we can just not understand in life. This is one thing we need to get on straight. We need to understand that God does incredible things with the loaves in our lives. What do I mean by the loaves? Do you see the miracles in your life that God is doing, or do you put it off to chance? Yeah, you know. Okay, so for us, we were looking for a permanent residence, well, a temporary permanent residence. And so my daughter, we had promised her we're going to allow you to get a dog to make this transition a little easier for her. So when you talk about having two dogs in a rental, it really just from 192 options to like four. Most rentals don't even want one dog, let alone two dogs. So we started praying. God, what do you want? Where do you want us? God uses everything to push you into the direction he wants you to be in. So right now we're living in the Long Reach area in Columbia. We have a really nice looking townhouse. We're praising God for it. And we're allowed to have our two dogs. Is that coincidence? No. Was that Adora's perfect work? Yeah, a lot of it, but not everything. Adora has done a great job for us. But no, it was God. God wanted my kids to go to that school. God wanted us in that neighborhood. And I expect fruit in that neighborhood. Why? Because God didn't put us there by mistake. He could have put us anywhere. But he decided to put us there. So what are we going to do now about it? Oh, thank you, God. Thank you for all that you've done for us. And we're just going to enjoy our house and stay. No, we need to walk around. That's why we got two dogs, so we can walk them and go meet people. Hey, you like my dog? Cool. You want to come to church? Hey, you want to come over for milk and cookies? I don't know. You know, inviting people over. Milk and cookies, yeah, I was kind of corny. Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Yes. Yes. Let me ask you a question. Do you do that in your neighborhood? Do you walk your dog? Do you walk your child? Do you walk with your wife? Do you just walk? It being intentional. Nothing happens by mistake. The reason we have our nose here, God intended to put it here, or we could have had it someplace else. I don't know. Everything about us is very intentional. It serves a purpose. We serve a purpose in God's kingdom. Amen. We are here for a reason. God didn't bring us to Baltimore by mistake. It was his intention. And we're open to do whatever he wants us to do. What is your intention for your life? And is it lining up with God's? It's time for us to take courage. It's time for us to die to timidity. It's time for us to go into our neighborhoods where we work, where we go to school, where we get our coffee, and let people know that we're disciples of Jesus Christ. We need to take courage. We need to become completely amazed again. Do you sit back and are a skeptic at the miracles? Do you try to explain them scientifically? Guys, being a Christian, yes, we need to study our Bibles. Yes, we need to be hermeneutics. Get degrees. Do all that. But if you lose the heart, what is it? The Bible says that love builds up. Right? Knowledge puffs up. A lot of times we can take the head knowledge that we have and substitute it for faith. And I'm not saying that we don't need to be educated. Absolutely. But we also need to be heartsy. So you know what? Whether you're a seasoned Christian, or you're visiting us this morning, whether you just got baptized, we all need to be completely amazed by Jesus. It doesn't really matter where we're at in our life, the life spectrum. We need to really just figure out, okay, what amazes me about God, and hold on to that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's look at verses 53 to 56. We're going to transfer now to our communion talk. And we're going to talk about in verses 53 to 56. Let's read that. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went into the villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. What brought the crowds to Jesus? What brought the crowds to Jesus? I believe it was his heart to serve. It was his love to serve. You know, when we look at verse 56, it says that the people begged Jesus to even touch the edge of his cloak. Do we have that heart as we come into communion? Do we have that mindset of, I have to be that humble and beg God to be at his table? You know, I don't know what the cross means for you. What it means for me is freedom. Freedom from sin. It means freedom from my old way of thinking. It's freedom to be completely amazed by all that Jesus has done. You know, the people there recognized Jesus' authority. Do you recognize his authority? You know, the cool thing about authority is you don't got to recognize it for it not to be there. The stop sign means stop for a reason. The authority says stop. You can ignore if you want and go pay your $200 ticket at the end of the day. This is a little bit more. Jesus' authority in our lives, he wants to love us. And he wants to meet our needs. You know, as we take communion, let's not miss the opportunity of allowing Jesus into our lives. Let's remember that he's capable, but he is also willing to meet our needs as he did on the cross. Let's pray for the communion. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for all that you've provided for us in our lives. We thank you so much that not only were you willing to live for us, but you were willing to die for us. We thank you that you did it for us individually, not as a church, not as a corporate thing, God, but as your sons and as your daughters. That is incredible. Thank you so much for being willing to go through so much so that we could have a relationship with you. I pray, Father, that we will this week consider who you are and that we will make you Lord. Thank you so much for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.